Good morning. Glad everyone could make it today. Starting a new year, and I asked the Lord what I should start with this year, and He led me to the Beatitudes, and I want to talk today about getting our priorities straight. And I learned some things studying this that I hadn't read before or paid much attention to. So I hope this message will bless you as it's blessed me and will instruct you as it's instructed me. The text today is out of Matthew chapter 6, and we'll read from verse 25 to verse 34. Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Father, I thank you for your word that is truth. I thank you that it does not return to you void, but it does what you send it out to do. Father, I thank you for those who have come out to hear your word this morning. I ask that you would anoint me to bring this message to your people. Lord, that you would enlarge our hearts and open our eyes and ears that we may see and truly hear and understand the great lesson you were teaching then and now. Help us, Lord, not to be double-minded. I pray that the heart of this will go deep into our hearts. And we'll see as you intended for your people to see. I ask this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. We're in the part called the Beatitudes. Some have suggested that they're just merely a suggestion, an ideal of wouldn't it be nice if we could live this way. Others have said no. Jesus is talking to his future church. And he's telling them, this is how you shall live. This is how you'll need to live. And he talked about being poor in spirit. He talked about being blessed if you were persecuted for his name. Then he goes on to talk about prayer. He talks about fasting. He talks about almsgiving, giving to the poor. And just before the part I read to you this morning, he's talking about treasures. And the Jews of his day believed that if a man or a woman had wealth, that was a sign that God's hand was on them and that he was pleased with them. And so they had a hookup there that if you're making it, God must be happy. If you're poor, God must not be that happy. And they strived for material things. Now, Jesus here talking about treasures, he said, You can't serve God and money. There comes a time in your life, Jesus is saying to them, you have to decide who you're going to serve. God or money. Well, is God against me having money? No, he's not against that. He's against money having you. You know, I challenge you, take a look at your checkbooks this week. Who do you spend the most on? Don't answer that out loud. What do you spend your money on? Sometimes I look at my check register and I kind of, whoop, I didn't really need that. Why'd I buy that? Now, Jesus isn't talking about buying clothes and buying food. He's not saying, don't worry about that. The Hebraism he's using here is, as the rabbis of his day taught, we call it didactic teaching. It's when you can take word pictures or examples from things like nature and teach a point. And Jesus has just told them, wherever your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be. You can either be heavenly minded or you can be earthly minded. You can serve God or you can serve money. And he said, you got to make a choice. So this part here starts out, therefore. Therefore, when Jesus says that, he's saying, because of what I just told you, this is the attitude you should have. And some, you could read that and think, well, I must need to sell everything I have and live in poverty and wear rags or hand-me-downs from the Salvation Army. That's not what he's talking about. The Greek here says, don't let your mind be anxious. We say here, don't fret. Don't fret about it. I see Christians that anxiety controls their lives. Jesus said, don't do that. Don't allow that. One translation, I think it's the American Standard, says, the old one, says, don't busy yourself with your life. Well, wait a minute. I'm number one, God. My phone just made a weird noise. And Jesus is saying, and you probably say, man, you're preaching to the choir, we know. He's saying, don't worry about what you're going to eat. And the Greek there also means, don't get distracted. Don't let your mind be distracted to where your mind goes off of heavenly things and goes on to earthly things. And you remember what he said in the parable of the sower? What happened to the seed that fell among the thorns? They grew up together, the thorns and the weed and the seed. And what happened? He said the thorns and the weeds choked the wheat. And it became unfruitful. Anxiety can bring you to a place spiritually that you become unproductive, unfruitful, and ineffective for the kingdom of heaven. You get to where your mind is more over here than it should be over here. In fact, when Jesus says, is not life more than, the Greek there says, is not the life. Now that kind of clarifies that for us. What's the life? This eternal life, the spirit life. See, Jesus is trying to remind people in this message, this life ain't all of life. When you die, your body will be buried or cremated or whatever you're going to have done. It'd be put in the ground or dumped somewhere. I mean, ashes, not your body. And it'll go back to the dirt. God said that. But the preacher in Ecclesiastes says the spirit goes back to God who gave it. You see, Jesus is talking to both sides, if I can say it like that, of who we are. He's saying, look, you can spend all your life chasing things to please this body. In fact, he said in one place, what will you gain if you gain the whole world but you lose your soul? I said he used the Hebraism. They call it didactic teaching. This shows you I've been to Bible college. Didactic teaching. It means you use pictures, word pictures. They say men remember things better if you tell it in stories. Women, if you can paint a picture, especially to touch the emotions, they can remember things better. Any guy that's ever made his wife mad 20 years ago can say amen to that. Just like, you remember 20 years ago when you said this? I don't remember saying that. Well, you did. You don't dare call her a liar. You just say, okay, honey, I apologize. I was wrong for the 15th time. But Jesus, this is what really got to me. He said, look at the birds. And he doesn't mean just look at the birds. Just look at the birds. Okay, I'm looking. I don't see anything, Lord. What's the point? He's saying, consider. Study them. Fix your mind on nature. The old rabbis used to say, you don't see a bird with a shop open, do you? You don't see an animal carrying a rake or a plow. That's what Jesus is saying. Look at the birds. They don't go out and till the ground. They don't plant seeds. They don't build barns to store stuff in. I remember when I first read it, I thought, yeah, but God, they eat bugs, man. You're giving me that? You tell me to eat bugs? Who made the bugs? God, yeah. He made the birds. He made the bugs. He told the birds that's what you can eat. I've been watching them, the dead growth from last summer. It's got seeds, gone to seed. I watch the birds every morning at my house come there and eat on that. And when I was reading this, and I understood that Jesus was saying, consider, fix your mind on, watch them for a while. You don't see a bird with a watch on, do you? I never have. I've never seen a dog wearing a watch or a squirrel. No, I'm not trying to be facetious. Jesus is saying, these are the lesser of God's creation. We're the crown of His creation. We were made in His image. We're given an eternal spirit. They're not. Sorry. I know some people say, I know my puppy is in heaven. And well, you can believe that if you want. You know, I'm not going to argue with you, but nowhere in the Scripture have I found where animals have spirits. If they do, praise God. I've had some good dogs, and I hope they're in the kingdom of heaven. Okay. But Jesus said, look at nature. Animals don't plant. You never see them sitting and fretting about what they're going to have for their next meal. You don't see birds all cuddled up saying, where are we going to go, man? I heard Getting Go's closed. You know, I only got so much change. That's what the Lord's saying. Look at them. They don't fret. Why? Because God's going to feed them. Yeah, but they're birds, man. They're dumb animals. They don't know any better. Oh, maybe we Christians ought to be a little more like that. We just don't know any better than to trust God. This is a man who fasted for 40 days and night in the desert. And I believe it was Luke wrote at the end of the fast, after the temptation, angels came and ministered to him. And I think they brought him a sandwich or something. That's just my opinion. He said, why do you want to worry about what you're going to put on your body? He said, look at the flowers. The Bible translate, the King James says the lilies, and some of the commentators I read said actually Jesus was just referring to flowers in general. He said, look at all the flowers, the grass. Look how beautiful they are. He said even King Solomon, the richest king that ever lived, was not arrayed like one of these. He couldn't buy that kind of color and those kind of clothes. Now again, it's easy to read this and say, yeah, but Jesus, I got to wear clothes. You don't want me running around naked. Well, yeah, but you don't have to wear designer clothes, do you? Well, teenagers do. My gosh. We used to take our kids shopping for school clothes, and I want them. And these pants that had holes all over, and they want $30 a pair. It's like, my gosh, I'll buy you some of these $6 ones, take my shotgun and blow a leg off of them, you can wear them to school and be in style. Oh, Dad! You know, everybody will look. Everybody. Who's everybody? Just everybody. Teenagers always got that host of people. Everybody's. And we don't get much better as adults. I remember a missionary in a church union I attended. His family came home on furlough, and they scheduled him to preach one Sunday. And I was really looking forward to it. Because some of them missionaries, man, they got some things they can talk about, things they see God's hand working. And I was very disappointed. This guy got up and said, do me a favor. If the only clothes you can send us in the field are hand-me-downs, stop sending us clothes. I said, ooh, I'm glad I'm sitting back here where the lightning won't bounce off and hit me. Yeah. You know what he was doing, what God called that in the Old Testament? Kicking at my sacrifices. Eli's two sons, they said they started sending their servants into the people that was offering burnt offerings. And the servants would say, give me the best cut of that meat. And they'd say, well, wait a minute, let me get this all filleted, and you can have your cut. They said, I don't want my cut, I want the best cut. That was God's cut. It was supposed to be offered on the altar. And God said, Eli, you're kicking at what I've given you to eat. Complaining, grumbling, not satisfied. You know, Paul said that was one of the attributes the Holy Spirit told him was going to be in the church in the last days, unthankful, ungrateful, self-centered, and that's the church. He's talking about the saints, man. He ain't talking about the people outside the church. Jesus has a very real warning for us today. He's saying, don't get caught up in trying to keep up with the Joneses. Because if you get your mind fixed on earthly things, it'll choke the heaven out. He said, you got to choose sides, church. You don't have to eat steak every night. You don't have to wear designer clothes. He said, this blows me away. He said, which of you by being anxious can even add a single hour to your life? That's literally what he said. And in one translation, he says, the easy thing. Well, it might be easy for you, you know. Boy, we're trying, though. My wife and I was watching a movie the other night, and this actress was on there. And do you ever remember them wax lips we used to get when we was kids? And they had that Kool-Aid in them, and you put them in and run around, big old red lips just covered your face. And we'd suck on them until the juice was out, and then you'd chew the wax. I seen this actress look like she had a pair of them in her teeth. I thought they stretched her face so far back, I bet her ears touch at the back of her head. Oh, that's not funny to make fun of people. I didn't call her by name. I could have called her name. Y'all know what I'm talking about. But I'm looking at that, and I'm thinking, this is ridiculous. I see them plastic surgery commercials, and ladies, I'm sorry, but most of them are ladies. I just look 10 years younger. How old are you? That's what I want to say. Well, how old are you? Is that going to add any time to you, girls? I'll look better. Men will look at me. You know, I'll be pretty. My Bible says that what's beautiful to God about a woman is a woman who has a quiet spirit. He said, that's very beautiful and precious in his sight. You see, God doesn't look at our outside. He looks at our heart. What was Jesus' command? Seek first God's kingdom and His righteousness, and these other things will be added to you. You know, He's saying, your concern should be, where are you in your standing with God? His righteousness. He determined it. You don't get to. And I hear people all the time, well, you know, I've read the Ten Commandments, and I've read the Beatitudes, and I've read the Bible before, and I just try to do the best I can and don't hurt people. You know, that doesn't get it. My Bible says all of our righteous acts are like unclean rags. Those were the rags that lepers used to wrap themselves in. Gangrenous, stinky rags. And Isaiah said, that's you at your best when God looks at you. That's nice before dinner, isn't it? Oh. Yeah. You see, Jesus said, this life isn't it. The life. That's eternal. The life. He, in essence, he says, look, God gave you the body and the breath that you have and the spirit in you. Do you think he's not going to feed you? You didn't ask for that, and he gave it to you out of his good grace. And Jesus is saying to his church then and now, you need to get your priorities straight, church. I understand saving for the future. I do. I understand that. But when gathering in becomes more important to you than getting things out, you got a problem. I've never seen a U-Haul behind a hearse. I've met some people that I was pretty convinced was going to put their assets in travel checks and have them buried with them. But you can't take it with you. You know, I don't have any retirement fund, just Social Security, and that ain't looking good. But I got a great retirement plan. Yeah. Now, have I ever wondered about what we're going to eat and what I'm going to wear? Sure I have. But Jesus is saying to me and to you, don't let that guide your life. Don't let anxiety. That word means to distract your mind from. It's the same word Paul uses in Corinthians when he's telling the men, you're better off not to get married if you can control yourself, because a married man is anxious about how to please his wife and the Lord. It's the same word. Paul says, husband, you'll get distracted by wanting to please your wife, and sometimes that can come into conflict with what the Lord wants you to do. Now, God's not against marriage. He ordained it. But the church was asking him about marriage. They were being engaged, and then they said, should we go ahead and get married? Paul said, honestly, no. If you can control your passions, he said, don't get married. You are the woman. Serve the Lord. Said, then you can serve him with everything you got. But he said, guys, if you can't control your lust, then marry. Now, that's good advice. But, he said, you're going to have a problem in the area of, you're going to be anxious. That's that Greek word. You're going to be anxious about how to please your wife. And if you're not careful, guys, you can end up loving her more than God. And that's a no-no. I didn't say it. He did. Jesus said, if you love your wife or children more than me, you can't follow me. He's saying, don't even try. Because you won't please him. He might ask you to do something that in your finite mind and my finite mind, we might say, God, there's no way. I can't do something like that. Well, don't you trust me to take care of your family? Well, yeah, but those buts are dangerous. They are, man. They can get us in a lot of trouble. I remember a minister I met years ago told me he was an evangelist for years, and his wife said, me or the ministry, you got to make a choice between me and the ministry. And he said, well,
I knew as a godly man I needed to save my marriage. So he said, I quit evangelism. And so 2 years later, she left me anyway. And he said, here I am. I've walked away from the ministry that God called me to, the ministry I was supposed to dedicate my life to. He said, I still go to church. I still serve in the church. But he said, I'll never preach again. And I didn't go, oh, yeah, it'll be okay. I said, hey, brother, you're the one that's hearing from God. And that's what he thought God was telling him. You'll never stand in the pulpit again. God's got a right to do that. And it'd been easy for me to stand there and go, well, you should have said, well, bye, baby. But I haven't been there. Praise God, I hope I never am. I can't love my wife more than I love my Lord. She can't love me more than she loves the Lord. Eli, the high priest of Israel during the time of Samuel, died because he honored his boys more than he honored God. They were sleeping with the women, the Levite women that helped take care of the tent. They were priests. I told you they were taking the best of the sacrifices. And all Eli said to them is, you shouldn't do those things. And God gave Samuel a prophetic message and said, you tell Eli, I'm going to kill both of his sons in one day. And then he's going to die. You know what Eli said to Samuel? Well, he's God. Let him do whatever he thinks best. Man, that was a trip to me. I said, man, unrepentant? Well, I'm going to let things go on as they are and let God do what he says he's going to do. Eli should have got both them boys by the ear and took them out of the temple, kicked them out, took those priestly garments off and said, you're fired and don't you ever come back to this temple again. And then let God kill them if he wants to. But that's an example in the scriptures where a parent set his children above God. And God sent a prophet to him and said, you didn't honor me. In fact, he said, you honored your sons over me. Oh, God doesn't do stuff like that. Okay. I mean, if that's what you want to hold to, that's fine. But listen to what the Lord's telling us. Don't let your minds get fixated on this life. Your mind needs to be on the next one. Because we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We'll all give an account for our lives, for what we've done with what God's given to us, for whether we are doing his will or our own. You know, Jesus, he's trying to say to the church, you best get your priorities straight, church. You got to make up your mind and you pick a side and you stay on it. You know, the older I get, the more heavenly-minded I find myself becoming. It's like, this life is, James said it's just a vapor, a puff, and it's gone. I read about one minister that was doing a funeral, and he said, this dear lady said her tombstone will read, born this time, died this time, and there's a dash in there on that stone. And he said, it's what you do with that dash that counts. Now, this isn't a rebuke. We're starting a new year. But I think that God is saying to his church, get your priorities straight. We're going to talk about Jesus' priorities next few weeks, why he came here, what he came here to do, and what he's asking his church to do. Would you stand with me this morning? Paul said, examine yourselves. I don't examine you. You don't examine me. He said, examine yourself. Ask yourself this question. Is everything I say and do for the glory of God? Because that's what the Apostle Paul said the life of a Christian should be. Everything I do. When I work, it should be for God's glory. Christian ought to be the hardest working person on the job. Them bosses ought to say, boy, I wish I could get a whole busload of them folks working for me. Honest, dependable. Do you try to honor God in what you do, what you say? I? Do I honor him with my substance, with my material? Do I give back to him some of what he's given to me? Jesus says to his church, get your priorities straight and understand that it's the life, that eternal life that God's given to all men and women. That's what matters. You know, he's not going to look at your bank books. He's not going to look at what kind of house you live in or a car you drive. He doesn't care about that. He's going to be looking at what did you do with the time that I gave you and the talents that I gave to you. Did you do it for my glory? I'll tell you what, when I thought about that, I had to say, you know, Lord, I can't say everything I've done in the ministry has been for your glory. That's terrible. I had to get honest with him. Say, there's things I've done as a minister that weren't for your glory. When I look at it, I can't honestly say, yeah, that was for God's glory. I want to make it better. I want to be more conscientious of that and remind myself that everything I do should be done for God's glory. And that's what I'm saying today that we all need to do. Don't look around, think about other people, and point fingers at people. Just say, yeah, me, that's me, Lord. I need to be more conscientious about doing things for your glory and not for mine. Doc, you have the closing prayer. Would you please close the prayer for us?
Father, again, we just thank you so much that we can be here today. And Father, we just know that you have the glory. And Father, today is... Rick has said that, you know, you are their leader, we are a leader, and we need to do what you tell us to do, you know, and not be somebody that we're not. And Father, today we just thank you so much for the love that you give each and every one of us. And we just pray for those that are not well and get well. And even myself, I just pray, Father, that you just get over this thing, whatever it is, and let me get back to normal. And Father, we just thank you so much for the people that are here today that love one another, our neighbors, our friends. Father, we just thank you so much for them. And we thank you for Rick this morning. And Father, again, we just praise you for the love that you give each and every one of us and the blessing that you give us that we just don't think about those things that you give us. And Father, we just thank you so much for your glory. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.